Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Steve Thompson in, Mike Max joining us as well, Sports to the Max. And Mike, we got you.
Okay, I was just going to set the stage again, given what's happening. The Twins, the Timberwolves, and the Wild for obvious reasons. Sports to the Max is going to have a different feel for it tonight. I'm going to be here for a few minutes with Steve, and then I'm going to go out and hit the street, and I'm going to be driving around town to see what we can find. Hopefully no unrest, hopefully nothing violent as the curfew approaches at 7 o'clock. But we want to have some eyes in the street for this thing and see what might be going on out there and what we need to be aware of. So I will, in essence, become the reporter. And I will check in with Steve periodically throughout the night, and we will talk about what has been. Steve, I didn't think we could have a more gut-wrenching sequence of events, and then you add this to it, and it just it's like the weather outside. It just puts such a damper on the entire state, doesn't it?
Yeah, it is, Mike. I think emotions are so raw during the Chauvin trial and what we're hearing every day during testimony and reliving those terrible events. And people think about the aftermath of the death of George Floyd. And now this in Brooklyn Center, Dante Wright shot by police after what appeared to be a routine traffic stop. And it's just opened a lot of wounds that haven't had a chance to heal, for sure.
Yeah, and for people, if you didn't see, most of you, I'm sure, up to speed on it today, they did not take long in revealing the body camera video, which is always a point of contention, it seems, when these things happen. When we're going to see the body camera video, they did, police chief at Brooklyn Center, and it was fairly obvious that there was a bad mistake made on the part of a police officer who we found out later thought she had her taser gun and instead had her gun, and ultimately led to his death. And I don't know. I was just talking to a police officer in downtown Minneapolis here and his partner, and to an extent, they were glad that it got released because they said that there is nothing to hide behind here. There's nothing you can say. You can't change anything. Let's get it out there and show this, you know, what appears to be just an egregious, horrible mistake. And let's deal with it, because to put that in a closet or to wait and et cetera, we've done no one any particular good unless there was some strategy there. And they both concurred that they, as police officers, were more thankful than not that this video was out there and there was no cloud of uncertainty or thought of conspiracy or hiding or anything like that. That's the only thing you can say about this, Steve, that maybe has any merit or any semblance of transparency, and we can move on from. At least we know what we're moving on from.
Yeah, a disturbing video. It looks as though that Dante Wright was brought out of the vehicle and there was an attempt to handcuff him by the door of the vehicle. And there were problems with the handcuffs of some sort as they were trying to take him into custody. And that's when he jumped into the vehicle. And as the Brooklyn Center Police Chief said, the officer then mistakenly reached for the pistol instead of the taser. And that's when Dante Wright was shot and then sped away and then crashed and died at the scene after. And that's what you see in the video. It's a very graphic video, so be forewarned if you see that video. That's how it appeared to me, is that there was some difficulty getting Dante Wright handcuffed, and then he got into the driver's seat as if to drive away, and that's when one of the officers ultimately opened fire.
Yeah, which is, obviously that there's nobody condoning this. You should get in a vehicle and drive away. The question was the action that was taken. A pistol instead of a taser obviously is a huge mistake in that case. And to think, the odds of that happening in Minneapolis or the Minneapolis area at this time, it's so astronomical to me, Steve, that of all places, you watch the CBS Evening News and the first two stories are from Minnesota for the wrong reasons, and one can only imagine the perception nationally of this town, of this city that you and I both love, and what has become of it, the desecration of it over the last year is just, I never could have thought that we would be in this place for a reason like this.
And I understand that you will be headed out, as you mentioned.
Yeah, so I'll head out right now, Steve, and then we will check in with you periodically, and we're going to be in the guts of this thing, so we're looking to see what's going on out there, whatever out there is. And the curfew approaching 7 o'clock. When I covered it last year, it was much different because it was summertime and there were many, many more people out. We don't know how they're going to react tonight. We don't know if there's going to be violence tonight. We don't know if there's going to be looting tonight. We don't know any of that. There are a number of Humvees, I'm told 50 from law enforcement officials that are making their way through the cities. Police officers stationed, at least in downtown, throughout a Humvee and two squad cars and another Humvee right outside our 11th and Nicollet here at WCCO-TV, just to give you an idea. So they're fortified in downtown Minneapolis and whatever other places they think are hotspots, Steve. The question is, in talking to them, is nobody knows where they might select a hot spot to be. Nobody knows what area they might attack or go after. And so that's what is perplexing, confusing, and very worrisome to law enforcement officials tonight, is they don't know what the chosen targets might be or if there will be any. So everybody is on high alert.
Yeah, and Mark Fry is at that vigil for Dante Wright in Brooklyn Center. And that was ground zero last night. As protesters made their way to the Brooklyn Center Police Department, and then unrest spread into the surrounding neighborhoods and a retail area, and it sounds like to a number of retail areas there was damage and looting last night. They're trying to avoid that as Governor Walz set that 7 o'clock curfew for Hennepin, Ramsey, and Anoka counties. Maybe you're getting the alerts on your phone.
Yeah.
So Mark Fry is in the field. Mike Max is headed out.
Yep.
We have Sloan Martin in the newsroom. And, of course, Sloan has been following the Derek Chauvin trial, which continues. And, Mike, that could come to a close with closing arguments as early as next week, and then deliberations would begin for the jury, and then, of course, we'll all be on pins and needles waiting for some sort of verdict.
And, oh, yeah, by the way, after that, there's three more police officers that will go on trial. So it's going to drain us all, so we're going to have to hang in there and lean on each other, because that's the only thing I can see, and we're going to have to be proud Minnesotans and tough Minnesotans through this, because it's been just so devastating, and we are all we got sometimes right now, and hopefully we can depend on each other to get us through it. So, Steve,
all right,
I will
Mike,
take off and correspond with you shortly.
All right. We will visit with Mike Max through the night. There he is, Mike Max. Of course, the Twins postponed earlier due to the events in Brooklyn Center. The Minnesota Timberwolves and Minnesota Wild followed suit tonight. We will visit with Twins president Dave St. Peter coming up at 7:10 tonight. Right now, we're joined by Park Center boys basketball coach James Ware. He's an administrator in the Hopkins schools as well. James, thanks so much for taking time to visit with us tonight.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Steve.
James, difficult time for a community you coach. Park Center sits on the border of Brooklyn Center and Brooklyn Park. And right now, that is the center of all our attention. And what happened on a Sunday afternoon, we're all stunned. Your reaction to what has transpired over the last 24-plus hours?
Well, I mean, I think I'm like everybody else. We're all kind of in just in a little bit of disbelief in terms of, coming to grips with the loss of life with Dante Wright at such an emotional time. Many of the, young people I coach and including my sons, reflect on just how devastating this is. It feels like it's right back to where we were at this time last year, which is also bringing up, quite a few emotions, feelings for young people. So it's just very, very surreal to be back in this moment.
Yeah, and James, as an educator, dealing with young people and helping young people talk through this situation, as a father, it's difficult. I know my own daughters, who are now both out of college, discussing this is difficult. As an educator, what should we do going forward? What do we say to our kids?
Well, I think it's important, first of all, that we have to acknowledge it, right? We talk about, as administrators, giving people tools, giving people talking points, how to enter into a conversation with young people. And the key is with a lot of love and empathy, right? I think, many times, folks that don't work with kids, it's important, how you speak about tragic things and trauma. And we really can't control, Steve, what happened yesterday, but what we do have control of is how we react and how we respond in the moment. And the important thing again is to enter into conversations with love and empathy at the center, right? Many of us have children, and the first thing you got to do is, and many of us, if not all of us that have children, can empathize. I believe mom is Kate Wright, can empathize with the loss, just the thought of losing your child. And I know we see the headline "Man Dies." In my eyes, that it was a 20-year-old kid. So it makes it especially hard to see the loss of young life.
James Ware joining us, Park Center boys basketball coach, Hopkins school administrator, good enough to join us in very difficult circumstances, and the way forward and how you react. What we saw last night was a great deal of frustration from the people that gathered in Brooklyn Center, made their way to the police station. What we saw a year ago in the wake of the death of George Floyd, What was a lot of violence and a lot of destruction. And Dante Wright's mom came forward and begged people not to react in this way. And here we are now in the wake of the death of Dante Wright, and you have the governor and leaders, Dante Wright's mother, asking for people to protest, but peacefully.
Yeah, many colleagues that I have that I work with in both districts, believe it or not, we're out there, and talking to one of them, 3 hours of very peaceful, really just acknowledging the loss of life, not even at the point where the police come and you know, where there's, you know, some back and forth, but, you know, people gather to acknowledge the loss of life. And, you know, Steve, I do think it's important to acknowledge that. I think there's two different entities here. It is not one and the same. I do think one draws the other to it, but you know, I do think they're two separate things. Meaning the people who really, I mean, my first thought isn't even peaceful protest. It's just, you know, the peaceful acknowledgement and trying to help others through the pain of the loss of young life. And then I think what happens after that, I think is separate. And, you know, you see this in schools, you see this in business, you see this, you know, on sports teams, whatever it is. It takes a very few, you know, amount of people to, you know, to cause some havoc, and then other people kind of get labeled as that, right?
Yes,
and I think it's super important that us as listeners and people who are paying attention understand that distinction. It's not the same people from one, you know, from you know, acknowledging the loss of life, then that are the same people who are just, you know, looting a store. Two separate groups of people.
Yeah, and I think the governor and the mayors of Minneapolis and St. Paul, when they spoke earlier today, said that making room for whether it's a protest or that mourning that you discussed, and then beyond that, having some sort of way that you can sort out the bad actors that are there strictly to cause trouble.
Sure, sure. And it's hard. You know, I mean, I'd be the first to empathize with the police and the National Guard and the position that they are now in, based on you know, the actions of kind of everyone that was involved. With the death of Dante Wright, it puts everybody in a tough spot, because now, you know, the men and women of law enforcement are human beings just like everybody else. And, you know, yes, the National Guard is, you know, does have extensive training, in this, and, you know, hopefully those folks can go into this, you know, looking to be, you know, with everyone attempting to be part of the solution as opposed to trying to make some, you know, the situation worse. I expect it to be peaceful, although I will understand people's frustration that, you know, that want to be heard, that don't feel that they're being heard. So I can see some different aspects to what we're faced with.
And James, the frustration and the rage in some is that it continues to happen, not just here, but all over the country. When will there be meaningful change? And I think that's one of the things that a lot of people are asking today. Why does this continue to happen? Why do we continue to hear these sad stories?
Well, Steve, my first thought, which isn't necessarily my last thought, but my first thought, you know, kind of just comes back to fear, you know, people's fear in one another, not knowing each other. We do have an issue with, policing and potentially over policing in many of our communities of color. And, you know, we do have an issue that needs to be addressed by our state. We do need people that live in our community to police our communities. It just has to occur, you know, because there's just a different level of connectivity that people can have when they are part of this community. We at this point have all seen the video, or many of us have seen the video. We do not believe that she intended, you know, to shoot him. Yes, she intended to tase him. But it's the acting out of, a place of fear as opposed to letting your training, you know, settle in and just being sure and confident about what you're doing. Again, why does this keep happening? Fear. You know, I really believe, you know, and I've worked in schools now for going on to been an administrator for going on 11 years. And, you know, we do de-escalation training. We work on, just being sure that we do not react or overreact, to certain situations, because then we put ourselves, you know, as educators in a position where we can be liable when maybe something hard is happening in our schools. And, my heart is heavy. I'm attempting to be as empathetic as I can for everyone that is involved. And Steve, I guess, you know, my only other thought would just be, as Minnesotans, we got to stick together. You know, I think when we start, you know, going too far and not being empathetic, whichever side of what your first reaction is and how you view what happened, when you're not empathetic, to other individuals, I think that's where we have an opportunity to go wrong. So I do think we got to stick together through this.
James Ware joining us. James, always good to visit with you. Difficult circumstances for sure here tonight. I appreciate your insight.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
All right. There he is, James Ware. Once again, Park Center boys basketball coach and an administrator in the Hopkins schools, joining us here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Just
you could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.